Welcome, Art Olivier. We are going to have a little chit-chat together, face-to-face, about the things that you would like to mention to our viewers. You were mayor of California City and also independent filmmaker, the Operation Terror. Can you tell us more about this film and the reasons why you made it, and what were the process of making this film?
Well, it was done independently. The Operation Terror is the 9/11 story you were not supposed to know. So I couldn't get traditional funding for this type of movie, so it had to be self-funded. I had to be very careful on making it, you know, because I didn't want to lose my locations if people knew how controversial this movie was, because it tells a story of 9/11 that most Americans don't know. You know, there were no Muslims involved in the attacks on 9/11, and it's based on underreported events, things that were reported on 9/11 but have been erased from the news media in the United States, and so it's an action-packed video feature film. You know, we've been in 10 film festivals now. The 10th was just the Resistance Film Festival, which just happened here last week here in Tehran. And we won a few international awards.
So what were the consequences of this film? I mean, what happened? Did you have the facility making it in Hollywood, in California? I mean, you were mayor. Was that easy to make?
Well, like I said, I was very careful in making the movie. I didn't give my screenplay to anyone except myself and the director. Even the stars of the movie only had the sections that they were in. Nobody had the entire screenplay. After it was produced, then, you know, publicity was difficult. Some of the areas where I thought I would be able to advertise, I was not allowed to advertise. And distribution is difficult. When some distributors see it, you know, when the acquisitions managers see the movie, they just fall in love with the movie and say, oh, yeah, we have to do this. We're going to make a lot of money on this. But that always comes back that we can't.
Why is it? Why is it that you think?
Well, typically they don't say. They just say, you know, the boss says we can't do it. But, you know, it's controversial. And if a distributor were to distribute Operation Terror, they may lose business in other areas. So it's difficult for them to.
So it's all about the money. It's not really the fact that you're mentioning new realities about 9/11.
Yeah, it's really not new realities, but it is new to the average American that would watch the movie. You know, because there's been a lot of books and articles and documentaries that have been produced about the truth of what really happened on 9/11. But your average American doesn't read the books. They don't watch documentaries. But the average American will sit down and watch an entertaining feature film, and that's who I was trying to reach. And so that's, there are people that want to make sure that the average American is not reached with what really happened on 9/11.
Well, you talk about terror, and today we also talk about terror in other regions of the world. What do you think is the real definition of terror? What's terrorist? Who is a terrorist?
Well, a terrorist is anybody that tries to terrify people. Like in World War II, you had terrorist bombings where civilian areas that had any military bases or any military production were bombed just to kill civilian population. This was to terrorize people. And what we have now is terrorism. 9/11 was definitely a terrorist attack. It was to terrify people. The media was terrifying people with images of the Twin Towers blowing up and people screaming, and they would bring images of the people that they said did it, and it would terrify people that these people are Muslims from the Middle East, and sometimes they have strange dress that they have, and you know, to terrorize people. And if you see somebody like this, you should be afraid. And so in America, you know, the media is a very, very big part of the terrorism that we have there, because that's their job. Their job is to terrify the American people.
Is it also the fact of not feeling secure in a society which could terrorize you?
Well, that's what they want you to do, is not to feel secure. Sure, you have to that's one of the purposes of the terrorism, is to get people to go to the government for protection. I'm terrified. I don't know what to do. I need the government to help to protect me from these from what they say who the terrorists are. You have to protect me, and that's always been a form that government uses for control. War has always been a way for government to extend its power, to keep the people under control. You have to rely on me to protect you from these evil people over in Japan or in China or in Russia or the Soviet Union, whoever it is that we perceive that could be a threat to our safety. So it all works together. You have to have the media to explain it to these people that who the good guys are and who the bad guys are, and that the government is needed to protect you from these people.
There's also a whole big business, a security business in the United States around the fact that people should feel secure. And even National Security Agency, we've had a lot of revelations by Edward Snowden and others who talked about how the American government is let's say, spying on American people. Did that have any influence on people's thoughts about terror and security?
No, I don't think so. But I think the Snowden revelations are a way to try to get people from protesting in America. That they know that if they were to start a protest against some of the tyranny that's going on in America, that the NSA is listening to them. That they'll know that they're putting these things together and to make these people afraid.
So that people watch themselves, not to speak out and give their own opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So why did it turn out to be this country, which is called the country of freedom of speech and human rights? Why do you see it turning into such a country today?
I think partly because a lot of people were waking up to what was going on. I mean, it's nothing new to have false flag terror attacks to start a war. I mean, you can remember the Maine. That's what started the Spanish-American War. That was all fabricated by the media. You had the Lusitania in World War I. You had the eight-action plan to get the Japanese to attack us in World War II. You in every single war, the USS Maddow in Vietnam. Every war that we've had over the last century, has been created through the use of the media. To terrorize the American public that, hey, we're being attacked. We have to respond. And typically the Americans would get behind that response, but not so much anymore. People, now the media is not able to completely control the American population like they did in the past. In the younger generation, they simply don't watch the nightly news anymore. It's just a bunch of baloney. It's not what they're interested in. They don't watch TV. They get all their information and social networks from their friends. They look through on their cell phone. They see what's going on. And they're not buying it.
So
the government really needs to crack down to restrict the freedoms.
But if it goes through the social media to be able to inform each other, isn't the social media under control of the same people who control the government?
Yeah, it is. I mean, to an extent, there's a lot of things that the government puts out in social media that goes viral, and when the truth is put out that goes viral, then it's stopped. I've had a couple of videos that have gone viral, and then they're squashed, to stop that from happening. So it is difficult. But it's still getting out there. The truth is getting out there a lot more than it used to.
What are the consequences of the NSA being seen as a, let's say, weakened agency? And even the CIA, there are a lot of questions about the fact that the White House was, there was an intruder inside the White House. And I mean, the security in the United States is being shown, or is it really being weakened?
Well, you have to understand the end goal is here. The end goal is not to protect America. The end goal is to protect the people that control America. And what they need protection from the most is from the American people. And so the real enemy of the people on the very top is the American people.
So today we see the United States getting into another war, in some sort of non-troop war, more of an aviation war. Do you think that this is going to be a new World War III, or is it going to be an invasion of new lands and other reasons for this continuation of warmongering?
Yeah, personally, I think it's just going to be just like another Libya, where we go in, kill the leader, and then replace him with a puppet government.
Mm-hmm. And where do you see that happening? You see this for the Middle East? Which country?
Syria. Right now, in Syria, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you think this is separated with the rest of the countries in the Middle East? Do you think that this is just an option for Syria? They're going to change the leader, and then they're going to go on to something else?
Well, yeah, it's a stepping stone. And, and unfortunately, I could see that the same fate may happen to Iran. Mm-hmm.
So you see that this is a plan. This is a long-term plan. Who is planning this long-term movement?
Well, in America, the plan is done by the Council on Foreign Relations. The Council on Foreign Relations, they have the most members of the presidential cabinet are members of the Council on Foreign Relations. And it's been like that since Roosevelt. Every cabinet is members of the Council on Foreign Relations. And they set foreign policy in America.